Okay, right in the middle of studying wisdom, we are looking at wisdom from another angle. Because I can tell you, I was actually having a conversation with a young man last night, and we were talking about our lives, and I told him, I said, you know, I learned everything that I needed to know about how not to do something by watching some people. I'm not going to be specific on that, okay? Can you learn by watching other people what not to do? What did work? What didn't work? Well, the Bible, when I first started studying, I don't mean reading, when I first started studying the Bible, I don't know, 50 years ago, 45 years ago, I actually had this thought, and it's kind of funny now. It really wasn't funny then. Lord, why did you put that in the Bible? These people would do stuff, and you read about it, and you go, why would you include that in the Bible? I don't want to know about that, okay? But it was in the story of men and women who made some great decisions, didn't they? People in the Bible, some of them made great decisions, okay? Some of them made not so great decisions, right? And some of them made horrible decisions. Is that right? Well, what we're gonna start talking about, we're still on wisdom, but we're looking at one character and some of that surround him, and we'll be doing it for a couple of weeks before we go back to Proverbs. But the story is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I know this is for some folks. And the reason I'm saying it like this is because Lord told me over and over to talk about this morning. So somebody needs this, whether you're here, whether you're online, whatever. So the Lord said to Samuel, 16:1, 1 Samuel 16:1. Then the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. We know that Israel had whined, complained, just they had to have a king, had to have a king, had to have a king. Then they got a king, and what happened? He went nuts. Is that what happened? Okay. The story is not about Saul, but the first point I want to make is sometimes people around us go nuts. Sometimes people in leadership are nuts, aren't they? Okay. So I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. Okay. Listen to what God says. I, being God, have provided myself a king. I want you to hold that. I want you to go to Jeremiah 1:19. And this is my first point this morning. Because somebody, maybe me, maybe it's all for me, okay? Because I have to study it, and then I have to preach it, and then I have to listen to it next week to make sure I didn't mess it up. So maybe it's for me, okay? So Jeremiah 1:4, the Lord is speaking to him. He says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That same word, knew, okay, it could be translated chosen. Before you were born, I chose you. Now, I want you to think about this. If you're listening to this morning, if you're here, either online or in this room, guys, I want you to know that you are chosen, selected, preordained, predestined by God to be in his kingdom. And you say, well, yeah, you know, that just takes away free will. No, it doesn't. Okay. Because I can cook a buffet downstairs. Well, it wouldn't be very good unless it was grilled cheese and French fries, fried eggs. I'm great at fried eggs. Okay. But anyway, with peppers and, okay, never mind. So, but the point being is this. Then it would be, you could smell it coming upstairs, you say, ooh. Or you could walk out the door and leave it, right? But it was you were chosen, it was for you, okay? So I'm gonna run over some, again, the first point is that you are chosen. God knows you, he knows your fingerprints, he knows how many hairs are on your head, he knows you, okay? You've just heard Jeremiah 1 and 5, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 4, you are loved by God and you are chosen by him. Colossians 3:12, you are chosen. 2 Peter 1 and 10, you are called. You are the elect. Revelation 7:8, your names have been written before the foundation of the earth. Ephesians 1:4-5, you're chosen before the foundation of the earth. Guys, it just goes on and on and on. And I'm going to tell you, I don't mean this to be, I'm not making fun of anybody, okay? But everybody wants to feel special. But guess what? You are. You are. You are chosen by him. And now, remember what happens next. What did the thief come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? So he has a butt gun. And I tell you this morning, he said, I said, you know, God loves you, you're chosen, selected, and then the enemy gets behind the butt gun and says, but, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this what? In this life, is there trouble? Does things go downhill? They talk nice. Things sometimes go not as well as we want them to, don't they? There are accidents. There are choices of other people. There's gravity if you're on the side of a ladder. Okay, we were talking about that the other day. You know, gravity sucks. Anyway, sometimes, unless if it wasn't for it, we'd be flying out in space. So I guess it's okay. But anyway, you get the point. But literally, guys, you are chosen. Now, let's go to our text. God says, I have provided myself a king among his sons. We're talking about Jesse. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. Second point, it takes bravery to be obedient to God. And I'm just going to peel back the curtain a little bit and let you look into my life. I used to pray to be brave. God, give me bravery, Lord. Give me, you know, I want to be brave. And you know where bravery comes from? This is not a joke. This is my experience. It comes from desperation. Okay? Because, see, the people that you either want what's ahead of you so bad you're willing to risk for it, or you ain't got nothing to lose. You see what I'm saying? That's where true courage comes from. Is, you know what? I want that ahead of me enough that I'm willing to do what? Risk. I'm willing to put myself out there. I'm willing to do that. And here's the deal, guys. Literally, he says, God, he'll kill me. And the Lord says, take a heifer with you and say these words. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Now, he was not lying. When you read this story, he took a heifer and they had a sacrifice. That was part of the reason he was there. Okay, but something amazing happens while he's there. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one I name to you. He didn't just say anoint somebody, did he? Had God already made up his mind who he wanted? Okay. And here's the deal, and we've talked about this almost weekly lately for some reason. God's already tomorrow where you're going and that you think there's going to be trouble, struggle, whatever, what's going on. He's already there. There is no time, space for God. God's there. He's there. He's also behind you. Okay, he's being your rear guard. He's ahead of you. He is God. time does not, time's for us, so we don't go crazy, or try not to. So, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, and he's going to tell you what to do. And so in verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" I have to talk about this every time. I cannot say this. I cannot read the scripture and not say this. I want you to think about what they just said. When you walk in the authority of God, and I don't mean, okay, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I don't mean like this, okay? But when you know deep down that you are like one of the Blues Brothers, you're on a mission from God, okay? Okay, but when you know that, I want to tell you, it gives you a confidence, and I don't mean a cockiness. There's a difference between confidence and cockiness, okay? And it gives you a confidence to know that God is going before you, and as he does that, the people looking, they know he is a man of power, okay? And they trembled. They were scared. Is he going to call down fire from heaven? Because does he know that we hadn't been going to church? Does he know we haven't been doing our sacrifice? Does he know that what I've got in my drawer at home? Does he know? Does he know? Okay. He wasn't there for that. And he said, "Peaceably I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he sanctified Jesse and his sons to invite them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely this is the Lord's anointing." He was one of the elder brothers, guy with experience, guy's been in a fight, big old tall boy. Think, you know what? Wow, this must be him. This, he got everything on the outside. Looks like he'd be a good king. Do you remember when we studied Saul? Saul was a head taller than everybody else. He was taller than everybody else. And he was a good looking guy. And they chose him. And God let them have, you know, God let them have what they asked for. And because that was their idea. So, yes, God did put his spirit on him. God did do things for him in the beginning, did some deliverance. But that was not the long-term plan. The long-term plan is always for us not to follow a man, okay? I have teachers that I listen to every week, okay? I have people that are in my life that I've read, some of them are dead right now, but I've read their books, and they mean something to me. Does that make sense? Okay, but I'm not following them. I'm following God, and a king is not the answer. A political figure is not the answer. Your God is the answer. So, but the Lord said to Samuel, verse 7, "Don't look at his appearance." Wow. Think about that. You've seen the studies. So if I put on a suit, shave real good, trim up this mustache that's trying to take over my face, and go to a store, I'll be treated this way, whatever this way is, okay? Then I go back, I put on some rags, smell bad, have my hair sticking up on my head, which wouldn't be hard for me, okay? Just go straight from when I get up in the morning. And I'll be treated a different way, won't I? But I'm the same person either way, right? So why do we put such a value on appearance? And I'm guilty. I'm going to tell you, I've been trained to do that. I've been taught to do that. But the point being is this. He says this, "Because I refuse him, for the Lord does not see as man sees." See, we evaluate people. Right? Even if we're not doing it to hurt them, or to, it's a very natural thing. But the Lord looks at what? The heart. So guys, I want to tell you, I was reading a book years ago, which I will not tell you what it is, but this author changed my life. And I was reading this book, and he had one paragraph that 20 years later, I still see in my mind. Because he had worked with the street prostitutes in New York City. And he told the story about the person, I'm just gonna be very generic, who after that every day went back and cried out to God and prayed a little prayer that they learned in Sunday school. You don't know what some people have been through. The only reason I know what some people have been through is because for the last 45 years, I've been listening to the stories of people, sometimes through the legal system, sometimes through the church. And you don't know what people have been through. And we put our little mask of checking those boxes, checking those boxes. You know what a stencil is? You put a stencil and you go like this over the top of it. You pull it off and it's got something on it. We use our stencil on people. Loser, okay? This, that, successful, good person, bad person. And I want to tell you something. God doesn't have a stencil. He has a clear view of that person's heart. And we are so quick to say this person, that person, this person. So here's the deal. So you've been chosen. If you're home or you're here, I want you to say this with me. Say, I have been chosen. You are chosen. And I like to show the chosen, and he is the chosen, but you're also chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth. Okay. So that his idea of how to pick this guy wasn't working. He had an image of what a king looks like, and this wasn't working. It worked for him, but it wouldn't work for God. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, the Lord said, nope. And then seven of them went through there as we skip down. We'll go fast or faster. He made seven of his sons pass, and Samuel said, the Lord's not chosen these. So the next point is pretty simple, but it's profound. You ever say, I know I'm supposed to do this, and you go to a certain place in it, and it's like, well, what do I do now? It didn't work out like I thought it was going to work out. Anybody ever get into something that didn't work out like you thought it was going to work out? Merry Christmas. You're part of the human race, okay? I mean, literally, guys, I mean, God has told me to do things I've done, and I said, oh, well, praise God. That's going to mean this, this, and that. And I get in the middle of it, it's like, what? This is what? Okay. And here's the deal. God knows what he's doing. And God knew what he was doing that day. So Samuel then inquired. And sometimes we need to inquire. I inquire both to my posse, okay, the people who I pray with, the people that I live with, and I also inquire to God. But literally, he knew what God had told him to do, but he had to have some more information to fulfill this. So he went to the guy that knows, and he says, is there somebody else? You got another son somewhere? Okay. You got another son somewhere? So Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And if you want people to hurry up, tell them we ain't going to eat till we get here. Okay. That'll speed him up, won't it? Speeds me up. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. So he looked pretty good on the outside, but his heart was what he was after. Okay. So the second, or another point, excuse me, this is like four. But when Samuel, the most important guy that they know in the flesh, shows up and he says, hey, gather up your family, gather up your son. Guess what? Guess who was left out? Who was left out? David. He was out in the field. They said, well, you know, he's just the youngest. He was left out. Does that make sense? Okay, have you ever felt left out? Okay, just me? Okay, not y'all? Okay, because I'm serious. I felt left out. And God has not left you out. God has not forgotten you. He knows where you're at. And if you've been overlooked by an authority figure, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this the other night. I was not the best student, okay, just so that you, full disclosure. And I might have left school sometimes when they thought I was still there. I might have went four-wheeling. I might have got stuck and got caught. Might leave early for auto mechanics. And anyway, so I actually was going home one time. I didn't have any money to eat lunch. And I just opened the door. I wasn't trying to sneak. I knew Mom was there. But as I walked in, I heard my mom crying. And I thought, oh, what's wrong? And I just kind of eased in, and she was not just crying. She was interceding. She was crying out to God. She was crying out to God. And I listened, because, you know, I'm nosy. Just full disclosure. And she's saying these words, God, whatever it takes, have Bruce marry the girl he's supposed to marry. Whatever it takes. And I remember thinking, but I knew she didn't like that girlfriend, but whatever. Okay. So this is years before, and that I'd even met Kim. This was years before anything. So she's crying out to God. And here's the deal. Shortly thereafter, through a series of circumstances, my dad felt like he had been overlooked. That's why he had been overlooked for a position. He had been overlooked. And literally, he said, I'm gonna look for a job. And they needed a principal, I think it was, at Englewood Christian School in Independence, Missouri. And I would say the chances of me, of my parents moving from Camden, Arkansas to Independence, Missouri were about 100,000 to 1. I wouldn't say 1,000,000 to 1. But they moved up there and lived there, 2 years? Enough time for me to come home from the military and meet Kim. And the whole time Mom was there, she froze to death. She's from the South, and she was thin-blooded. And she would say, Bruce Anthony, I'm freezing to death up here. She had a little heater she sat there in front of, you know. But anyway, but the point being is, and I came there the first time, and there's this big city, and my parents were from the woods. And then they had moved into a town, a small town, okay. But I was like, wow. And did God know what he was doing? You know, 50 years later, we've only been married 42, but 50 years later, did God know what he's doing? Absolutely. So here's the deal. He answered her prayer, but Dad was overlooked by an authority figure. But I'm gonna tell you, even though David was overlooked, God used that for his pursuit. Propel ragweed to propel him forward. And literally, guys, he sent him, they got him, they brought him out, and Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the middle of his brothers. Now I'm gonna tell you something, that did not make his brothers happy. How many of you know that didn't make them happy? It doesn't say anything about that, because later on, though, in this story, They will literally demean him. They will put him down because they were jealous, okay? And people will be jealous of you, okay? People will be jealous of the anointing. And the Lord came upon David from that day forward, so Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So, verse 14, his next point. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he play for his hand when the distressing spirit from God is on you, and you shall be made well." It will comfort you. "Provide me a man who can play well and bring him to me." One of the servants said, "Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing with mighty men of valor, who is prudent in speech and handsome, and the Lord is with him." He's talking about a son of Jesse. So here's the deal. David then, none of these two things are not related. Saul has no idea that the person that's about ready to come play the harp for him when he's suffering this depression, this spirit, whatever, and he has no idea that that's the guy that has been anointed to take his place. So what God is doing is using what God does and putting him there to watch a leader of how not to be a leader. And you're going, "Bruce, why would you say that?" The reason I'm saying that is because all things work together for the good of them that are called according to his purpose. Has anybody in here ever had a boss, a leader? If you haven't, okay, there's this thing called spiritual abuse where the people over you are controlling their all these things, and you know, they're drawing their esteem from, you know, being the boss over you. There's all this stuff, guys. And but the point being is, I've been in those situations. I've been there. And I came out better, not bitter. I was irritated to what was going on, okay? The reason, I was learning how not to treat people. I'm serious. I was learning, and being a chief of police and being under people who, as supervisor, who did not work good to their people, you know, stood on their head to look 6 inches taller. You know what I mean? Just, you learn from that. If and God wants to teach us by that. But I want to tell you, you can be, first, you're chosen. Second, you can be overlooked by an authority figure. And David, by the way, was out there taking care of those sheep. And he was actually living out another scripture. Remember what Jesus said? "If you're faithful in the little things, I'll make you ruler over many." And what happened when the sheep came out, or the sheep were out there and a lion came? What did he do? Did he run off and say, "Daddy, daddy, a lion"? No, he came against the attack. When a bear came and got one, what did he do? He came against, and that was getting him ready for the battles ahead. Does that make sense? And if you're fighting a battle this morning, just realize that he's not doing that because he's mad at you. We are learning how to go to the next step. And it's this whole little mini series we're doing here is called The Path to the Palace. And it's, you know, that path is not an easy path. It's not an easy path. And there's pain, but I want to tell you, there's always pain before promotion. I wish it was easy. You know, there is no easy button to become a leader. There is no easy button to become the man or woman God's called you to be. Now, salvation is paid for by somebody else, but becoming what God's called you to be costs something. So we've got, he's anointed. He has been faithful in the little things. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. He's got a dysfunctional mentor. And I did write down one other scripture about this. And there's a lot of controversy about what was happening with Saul during this time. Was it mental illness? Was it demonic oppression? Was it, you know, and people say, well, you know, that it's not, you know, I'm not here to argue about that. But what I am here to tell you is this. The Bible is very specific that the anointing breaks the yoke. I want you to hear what I'm saying. And this is not a great illustration, but it's all I've got. It's something that I understand. Okay? So, this is a free water bottle that I obtained, and it's got water in it. So right now, it's got a junior deputy sticker on one side I put on it. Okay. So here's a, it's half empty, right? Let's say that what I need is this full of motor oil. Okay. And because I got to fill it up and take it out and fill up my car, because you know, mom's car uses just a little bit of oil every once in a while. So can I just leave this in here and put that oil on top of it? Will I be able to get this whole thing full of oil? What happens? It has to be, and I'm not going to do it in the church, emptied out. And I want to tell you, sometimes God puts us in a situation where we are emptied out of what we thought was so valuable in us so that he can fill us with his spirit. And that emptying, we claw against it, we turn it back. I mean, we fight against it. And, you know, this is one illustration that was used years ago. And I used to swim in gravel pits all the time down in South Arkansas. And some of them were really deep. When I say really deep, I don't mean 50 or 60, but you know, 20 or 30 foot deep. And if you're halfway in between and you start swimming up, you can swim up. But if you're on the bottom, you can literally push real hard, just thrust off the bottom and give yourself a push off of it, and you can come to the top within seconds, okay? Because you've already hit the bottom. And if you're hit on the bottom this morning, I want to tell you something, guys. Use that to push yourself back up to the surface where God is. And we've all failed, come short of the glory of God. And if you've not been on the bottom, you know, I'm sorry, or I guess I'm happy. But the truth is when you're on the bottom, you have something to push against to go up. So, and he gets put in here with this dysfunctional mentor. He don't even know he's his mentor. And he begins to worship, and I have three words that I want you to hear, because this, I was reminded of before I was studying earlier this week, some things were going on, and worship is warfare. I want you to listen to me. Worship is warfare. And you say, what does that even mean? I'll give you an example. So Jehoshaphat's being attacked. They're going to wipe him out. They're going to wipe him out. And he prays, God, what am I going to do? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? And this enemy is overwhelming. They're threatening. They're all this stuff. And he assembles his army, but he puts the musicians out front, singing, praising, worshiping God as they go into there. And the enemy ends up destroyed. They don't even really have to fight much because God fights their battles, okay? And here's the deal. I'm not telling you, you know, if you need money, don't get up off the couch and go to work. But what I am saying is worship is important. And people I don't know that we all think that way anymore as much as we used to. But literally when those spirits come and when that depression comes, when that anger comes, when that deal, get you some good praise and worship music, some good, whether it's Southern God, it's not a style thing, guys. It's something that's proclaiming the greatness of God. It's worshiping him. And join in with that and worship them. And when you're in this building, worship him. And it doesn't have to look like, I mean, what, this is a Christian church. We got people from all backgrounds. And it doesn't have to look like the charismatics worship, you know, or it doesn't have to look like you know, the Catholics worship. Just worship him in spirit and in truth. And when that happens, guys, it's warfare, and it drives the enemy out, okay? And illustration after illustration in the Bible of that, but worship is warfare. And, you know, if you spend your whole day watching TV of them saying the end's here, the end's coming, the end's here, the end's coming, the end's coming, and you wonder why you're scared, okay, that might be a clue. On the other hand, balance that out with, hey, you know what? Who's in charge is God, and worship him in spirit and in truth. So all this is going on. I got 2 minutes. And this is part one, by the way. So verse 23. Oh, so David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. That's the person who is, that's like his personal servant. Okay. And you think David learned anything during that time? Did he have a perfect mentor? You know, I've had some great pastors in my life. Not one of them has been perfect. Not one of them. I've had some great teachers. Not one of them has been perfect. But do you think he learned, if nothing else, he learned what not to do, didn't he? Okay. He might have learned where the checkbook was kept. He might have learned, you know, how this works, how the whole system of it works, okay? So it was, he found David stand, and David sent Jesse and said, please let David stand before me, for he's found favor in my sight. So it was when the Spirit from God, this is verse 23, that David would take with on Saul, take his harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. And guys, I want to tell you, we just went through the first round of politics. We had our local elections and all that. And guys, I just want to tell you, 12 years ago, first one I was ever involved with was in 90, I think, election, South Arkansas. And there was so much negativity, so much. And I picked up on something in that, and it was this, guys. You know, if all I can do is run you down, what am I bringing to the table besides negativity, okay? If all I can do is, you know, I mean, what's your qualifications? But the point being is this, guys. It can be so, this world can be so negative, can it? Is this a negative time? And let's decide that we're not gonna be negative people. We're gonna be positive people. We're gonna love our brothers and sisters. But that doesn't mean take your brain out before you vote. But what it does mean is literally, guys, be the man or woman God has called you to be, and let's do him. So we're gonna do a quick review, very quick. You are chosen, selected, preordained, predestined by God. Okay, you may be overlooked by the authorities. You may be overlooked by that. It's not about your outside, it's about your inside. And I want to tell you that God is here today to anoint us. The Spirit of the Lord is here to anoint us as we receive him. And just because you've got a dysfunctional mentor, just because you don't have a perfect pastor, I can promise you, anybody that's watching, or if I'm your pastor, you don't have a perfect pastor. Okay, but what you have is somebody who's seeking God, and you do the same thing. So we'll pick this up next week and what happens next. So this is wisdom for us by looking at our people in the Bible. So Father, thank you so much. The path to the palace, Lord. Someday we will be in heaven with you, but Lord, that path of us becoming what you call us to be is not an easy path. So Lord, help us today, God. As we take these words, bring them tight to us, Lord. Hold on to them and know, Lord, you're making us into the men and women you've called us to be. And sometimes through pain, but Lord, help us to stay on track for our purpose. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. See you in about... 40 minutes.